Vishnu Chakravarti uses this term in his purport. He says that a man attached to women, he's known as Streemaya. But the gopis were Tanmaya, Krishna Tanmaya. They were totally attached to Krishna and absorbed in Krishna, Tanmaya. So, who is that gopi who is most attached to Krishna? Srimati Radha Rani. She is the queen of Radha. She's the queen of the worshippers, the Rani of the Radhas. So, Aradhananam Sarveshnam Vishnu Aradhanam Param. So that Arada, that Radha, is Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radhika. So she is the greatest worshipper of Krishna. She is showing the path, the highest, the Param Upasanam, the Bhakti Kanda, the Bhakti Upasanam, is most perfectly shown in the example of the gopis in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhakti Kanda Shastra. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, you'll not find any higher upasakas than the Brajabadus, Ramya, Kachit, Upasanam, Brajabadu, Veer. So, in this, when we come to Bhakti Upasanam, then we practice, we are practicing Bhakti Upasanam. We are following the Upasana Kanda, sections of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are different Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Isho Upanishad. There are 12 Upanishads. 12 Upanishads which describe bhakti. And there are many Puranas also. But the Bhagavad Purana, this is the topmost Puranam. It's the Paramahamsa Samhitam. This is the law book for the Paramahamsas. So in our practice of bhakti upasana, we also come to a level in our devotion as we advance. We come to something called Mantra Mayi Upasanam. Mantra Mayi Upasanam. The word upasana means to worship, to serve, to attend to worship, upasanam. So Mantra Mayi Upasanam. What is Mantra Mayi? Mantra Mayi or Mantra Dhyan Upasanam. This is when one is practicing bhakti, he's chanting the holy name of the Lord, then he begins to engage in Lila Smaranam. He begins to remember and think about the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan and Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur. This is called Mantra Mayi Upasanam. But this is a type of upasanam, but it's considered to be a static upasanam. It's not so much moving. And this upasanam, Mantra Mayi Upasanam, the devotee looks at the Shastra, the Bhakti Kanda Shastra, such as Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he sees a mantra describing a pastime of the Lord. Then he meditates on that mantra. What is the content of that mantra? What pastime is being described? For example, in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavatam, of the 10th canto, there's a verse describing Mother Yashoda churning butter for Krishna. And it's describing how she's churning and she's singing songs about Krishna's sweetness and glories, and her hair is becoming loose, and the flowers are falling from her hair, and there's beads of perspiration forming on her forehead, and her breasts are moving back and forth, and her bangles on her wrists are jingling in tune with the song that she's singing, Krishna Kaniya, da 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 da, like this, some song she's singing. And then, so it's a very nice description of the body of Mother Yashoda, and how intently she's serving, and how she's perspiring, and how she's so much working hard to make butter for Krishna. This one verse is there. That shloka is called a mantra. So mantra upasana, mantra mayi upasana, means when you become absorbed in that mantra, you worship that mantra by your meditation, by your attention, by your bhav, by your heart. You look at that mantra, and then you chant the maha mantra. You combine the two. Mantra upasana, worship along with chanting of maha mantra. And then you think about, oh yes, so this is mantra mayi upasana in vatsalya bhav. There's madhurya bhav, there's sakya bhav, there's dasya bhav, and vatsalya. Vatsalya means parental love, motherly love, fatherly love. Like Nanda Baba and Yashoda, they have vatsalya. Parental affection for Krishna, Nandalal. So those that are interested in cultivating, developing that bhava, vatsalya bhava, they do mantra mayi upasana of mantras and shlokas which describe vatsalya bhava, like the one I mentioned. And this is called, this becomes Lila Smarana. You begin to meditate on the pastime of Mother Yashoda churning butter for Krishna as you're chanting. Then gradually that pastime becomes revealed, becomes seen in your heart and mind. So this is a type of bhakti upasana. Of course, it's not elementary, it's rather advanced. But one is supposed to come to this level as he progresses in bhakti. It's not just Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Sita Ram, Mahaprasad. There's upasana. Upasana means worship, action, dedication, practice. This is a abhyas. This is a practice, abhyas. So then the next level is called swarasiki. Swarasiki upasanam. Swarasiki mayi upasanam. In swarasiki, this means, in English you could say, nectar. Meditating on the inner nectar of one's own relationship with Krishna. Swarasiki upasana, this is called Astakalya Lila Smarana. This is when one begins to meditate on the Astakalya Lila, the eightfold pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. The pastimes that are happening, the Pratak Lila, the Madhyan Lila, the Nisha Lila, Nishant Lila, Nikunja Lila, Rasa Lila, Julan Lila, all different Lilas, Gocharan Lila, throughout the day and night, throughout eight periods of the day and night, Krishna and Radharani and Gopas are having so many Lilas. Gocharana, one by one by one by one by one by one, just like a river, like the Ganges is flowing to the ocean. So the pastimes of Krishna are going on and on and on, one by one by one, one after the other. So Swarasiki, one at that level, at the level of Swarasiki, one actually has realized his Siddha Sarup. The devotee has realized what is his spiritual form, Siddha Sarup, his perfect spiritual form. And in that Sarup, he meditates on the eternal Astakali Lila of Krishna, and he does upasana there. And he enters those pastimes, and he renders service there in his spiritual form as a spiritual gopi or spiritual coward boy, or as a mother of Krishna, or a nurse of Krishna, or as a house servant, or a servant of Krishna in his palace in Nandagaon. So this is the highest form of upasanam. Upasanam comes to this level. There's no higher form of upasanam than when you realize your sarup and you engage in swarasiki mayi upasanam. This is the goal, to sit down and to chant the holy name, and to realize one's spiritual body and spiritual form, and to enter into the pastimes of Krishna and render service there, according to the order of your guru. Your guru Sakha, your guru Sakhi, your guru Prabhu, your guru will also be there in spiritual form. So all these, this is all part of the bhakti upasanam. So this is aradhanam, param upasanam, param aradhanam. This is the topmost form of worship. So this practice of devotional service guided by the Bhakti Kanda, by the Bhakti Shastra Bhagavatam, will bring us to this point of worshipping the Brajabadhu, the Gopis of Vrindavan, Gopi Upasanam. We follow in the footsteps of the Gopis, when worship them, the mood and bhava they have, and the sevas they perform, we become attracted to them, we become interested in them, we want to hear about them, and gradually our life attains perfection. And we enter the spiritual world to continue our upasanam. And as we mentioned, the word upasanam means to sit near. Upa-asanam means to sit near or sit beside. So upasanam, ultimately, bhakti upasanam brings you to the point where you sit beside Krishna. You sit next to Krishna. You sit next to Radharani. You sit next to Sridham and Subal and sit next to Yashoda. This is the ultimate meaning of upasanam. Your worship attains perfection. You attain siddhi, prem siddhi, perfection of love, Krishna prem siddhi. Then you sit next to the Lord, and you sit next to your guru and your sarup, your siddha sarup, your spiritual body. You don't sit all day. You're dancing and walking and playing and wrestling and eating and everything in the spiritual world. Param Paravyom, Vrajaloka, Vrajagokul. So this is the ultimate upasanam. In the Karmakanda, they're also worshipping demigods. If you want good health, you worship Surya. If you want a healthy body, you worship Surya. If you want good enjoyment, you worship Indra. And they have all these different pujas that are there in Karmakanda. But in Upasana Kanda, in the Panchupasana, which is part of Jnana Kanda, that the conception there, when it becomes a little more enlightened, he becomes more enlightened because he's realized that actually Swargaloka, or just sense gratification on this planet, which is available in Karmakanda worship of the demigods, this is paltry. This is insignificant. Actually, because in Devata Puja and Upasana Kanda on the platform of Gyan, they want something more from the demigods. Like in Karmakanda, they go to the demigods and say, give me $100. On Jnanakanda, they go to the demigods and say, give me a crore. Because on Jnanakanda, they worship Panchupasana, but they want to go to Brahma Sayuja. They want Brahma Sayuja. They want a better result. They want a higher attainment. At least it's a spiritual perfection. Brahma Sayuja, Brahma Kaivalya, is a spiritual perfection. Although, Ruyakrachena Param Padam Padam Padantyado Nadrita Yushmadangraya, it says that you, in the 10th canto, you'll fall down from that because you don't have an attachment to Krishna. The lotus samastrita ye padapala, you know, yen yeva vindaksha vimuktamaninas. You don't have an attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. So they again fall down from the Brahman platform. But they're worshipping a demigod in Panchupasana because they realize that they're the supreme god. And they are forms of Brahman. On Jnanakanda, section of the Vedas, they worship the demigods thinking that they are Nirakar Brahma taking a form. But by worshipping this demigod, Shiva, Ganesh, Durga, by worshipping their form, I will attain the Nirakar Brahma, which is what they are residing, or they are also there. They are also Brahman. But I'm taking their help and worshipping them to merge into the Brahma Sayuja. So that's the worship of demigods in the platform of Upasana Kanda, which is for Gyan. Even in Bhakti, Bhakti Upasanam, or Vishnu Upasanam, or Vishnu Upasanam, or Krishna Upasanam, we can also worship demigods. It's not if our guru gives us sanction. The gopis of Vrindavan, they were in Nara Leela, they were acting as human beings. They didn't think that Krishna was God. They thought we want Krishna as our husband, so they worship Katyayani. They were also worshiping Durga. Katyayani is one form of Durga. So Durga is worshipped in Jnan Upasanam. In the Devata Upasanam, in Panchupasanam, they worship in the Jnan Marg. So the gopis are also worshiping Durga. But they're saying, Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha. They're praying to Katyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogin Yadishvari. O Katyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogin Yadishvari. Nanda Gopa Sutam Devi Patim Me Kurute Namaha. They're saying, oh Mahayogini, oh Katyayani, oh Durga Ma, oh Ma Durga, please give make Nanda Gopa our son, our husband, Patim, Pati Dehi. Give Nanda Nandan, the son of Nanda Gopa. We want him to become our husband. So the gopis are worshipping Durga. But that's not Jnana Upasanam. That's Vishnu Upasanam. Because their goal, their upasya, the goal of their worship, the upasya means the goal, the upasya of their puja, their aradhanam, the goal, the upasya was Krishna. That becomes Vishnu Upasanam. It's not Jnan Marg. This is Bhakti Marg. But generally, we have no need to worship the demigod. We simply worship Lord Chaitanya and chant the Mahamantra and worship Guru. Better we worship Guru and Vaishnavas. Because they are the sum total. You worship the Guru. Why worship one? There's 33 crores of demigods. So you go to this demigod and say, oh demigod, oh Devata, please give me Krishna. Oh demigod, please give me Krishna. Oh demigod. And you have to go to 33 million of them. So it's not bad. But if you go to one person, you'll get Krishna. Acharya mam vijaniyam navaman yitkarichit sarva deva mayo guru. Krishna is telling Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita in 11th Gyara Skanda Bhagavatam, He's telling Uddhava that Acharya Mam Vijaniyam. He says the Acharya is me. Sarva Deva Maya Guru. The Guru, all the demigods are living in the body of the Guru. Just like all the demigods are living in the body of the cow. Gomata. Gomata, all 33 crores of demigods are living in the hair follicles of the cow. Shiva's there, Indra's there, Vishnu's there, Brahma's there, everyone's there. That's why Goseva is so powerful and so beneficial. You can worship all the demigods in one place, do go puja. Worship the cow, massage the cow, rub the cow's neck, give some fresh grass and some gourd. And all the demigods will be satisfied. So if you do Guru Puja, if you do Guru Upasanam, because he's Sarva Deva Maya Guru, Krishna says the Acharya is me, he's not different from me, Sakshat Hari. And he's Sarva, all the demigods are living in the body of the Guru, so if you feed the Guru, you're feeding all the demigods. If you worship the Guru, you're worshipping all the demigods. And he can give you Krishna directly. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Shri Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Shri Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. Everywhere, in the Jnana Kanda section, in the Karma Kanda section, in the Bhakti Vishnu Kanda or Bhakti Kanda section, everywhere you will see the same principle. Worship the Guru. The Kaivalyavadis, the Advaitins, the Sri Brahmavai, everybody, the Vaishnavas, the Shankarites, they all emphasize Guru Puja. Worship the Guru. And there's a whole one day of the year called Guru Purnima, where everybody worships the Guru. And so everyone understands. Guru is very powerful. But we say, ah, my Guru, I have my Guru, Jai Guru Dev, Hari Bol. Ah, my Guru, he's always coming asking for money, this Guru. I give a little money, he starts dancing. I hold 5 lakhs in front of my Guru and he starts dancing. Oh! I control my Guru. This is not Guru. This is not the way. We don't control Guru. We should be controlled by Guru. This is the meaning of discipline, disciple, shishya. Any other question? Gentleman is asking the question. That if the ultimate conclusion of Vedas, the ultimate essence of Vedas and the conclusion of Vedas is the highest form of puja, Vishnu Radhanam, Ram Radhanam, Narayan or Krishna Radhanam, then why are there so many different presentations in the Vedas? Shiva is supreme, Surya is supreme, Durga is supreme. So the Vedas compiled by the rishis and sages, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, they understand that there are varieties. There are many varieties. There are 8,400,000 species of life. And among those species, there are 4 lakhs of human beings, civilized, uncivilized. There are angels, and there are some that are half monkey and half human. There are Kinnaras and Gandharvas and Vidyadharas. And there's human beings, and there's Kimpurushas. Many types of human forms. There's 4 lakhs. And there's different categories. There's the Kinnaras, or human beings, and the Gandharvas. And then there's the Kimpurushas. They're human-like form, but sometimes a little bit like monkey, but also like human being. This is a Hanuman race. It's called Kimpurusha. They speak, they're intelligent, but there's something a little bit like monkey, but mostly like man. So the many types of human beings. Then you have the Trigunas. You have the Trigunas, Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. So these gunas combine. Triguna mai. 3 times 3. 3 times 3 is 9. Times 9 is 81. Times 9, Prabhupada says, 8,400,000. So the combination of all these modes of nature. Some people are a little bit sattvic, but very rajasic. Some people are completely sattvic. Some people are completely tamasic. Many, many permutations and combinations. This is the reality that we see by our experience. By seeing, oh, this man is very lazy and lethargic, and this man is very bright and intelligent. There's varieties. It is not all one. So because the jivas taking particular bodies are not all one, although by constitution, By constitution, the Sarup Lakshana of the Jiva is one. The Sarup Lakshana of the Jiva is Satchit Ananda. Satchit Ananda. Every Jiva is Satchit Ananda. Eternal, full of consciousness and full of bliss, and the potency to relish love and enjoy love and exchange love. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. This is a Swarup Lakshana, the primary characteristic of every single Jiva. Some Jivas are in the body of a dog, or in a demigod, or a human being. So there's many varieties there. So the rishis and sages, recognizing the different types of consciousness, different types of bhavas and consciousness, due to the permutations and combinations of the modes of nature, they have written Vedas accordingly. Just like you go into the doctor's office, he has aspirin, or what do you call it? Paracetamol. What was that? That's a modern aspirin. He has paracetamol. And he has so many other things. Basically, paracetamol will cover everything. Aspirin will solve all the problems, take away your pain, and you're all right. But he doesn't only give one medicine to everyone. He analyzes and diagnoses. Oh, you're like this, you're like that, oh, you need this. He does a diagnosis, right? And gives a particular medicine. So the rishis and sages, they have diagnosed the human psyche. They have diagnosed the human psyche. They have diagnosed and understood the different types of consciousness in the human beings. We don't all think the same way. We don't all feel the same way. We don't all understand and appreciate transcendence in the same way. Therefore, there are three basic paths of transcendence. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanti shabdyate. It's told in the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tat tat vidas yatach jnanam advayam. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanti shabdyate. That learned transcendentalists, Vedanti tattvas, those that know the truth of Vedas, they have understood that there's three possibilities, there's three ways, possible ways that people could understand the absolute truth. One is Brahma Sayujya, one is Paramatma, realizing Paramatma as a yogi, the all-pervading, God is everywhere in every atom. He is there as a person, everywhere, all-pervading, as an individual person in the atom, the Paramatma. Vishnu, Narayan, and then Bhagavan iti shabdyate, that the ultimate realization is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is a person with his own spiritual domain, with his own spiritual personal form, and exchanges of rasa. Sakiras, Vatsaliras. These are the three possibilities. God is a person, God is not a person. Basically, it becomes two. But when you say person, you can say God is the Paramatma, and the yogis meditate on Paramatma, or God is Bhagavan. He's in one place, in the Goloka Vrindavan, in Braja Gokul, with all his gopis and gopas and friends, and we can go there. So now the Vedas are divided into these three sections, basically. So because individuals have different ideas, so the Vedas, the main point of human life is we should follow the Vedas. So if you're a tamasic person, if your consciousness is influenced by tamagun, by ignorance, And you can only understand. You'll see the Vedas, and you'll get there's a Veda for you. There's a Veda for you in the mode of ignorance, and it's called Shiva Puran. You'll get the Shiva Puran, and you'll read it and say, "Oh, if you want to drink wine, you offer your wine on this particular day, and because you're in Tamagun, you like to eat meat because you're influenced by ignorance. But when you're in Sattvagun, you won't want to look at dead flesh. What to speak of touch it." Because that's the influence of Sattva-gun. It's an energy, it's a power, the shakti of this nature, prakriti shakti. But when you're in tamagun, you think, hey, looks really good. That looks like a good piece of dead flesh. I want to eat that. But because you're guided by the Vedas say, you want to eat dead animals? Well, wait till Amavasya. On the Amavasya, the dark moon night, then you have to chant a mantra in the ear of the goat. You can eat a dead goat, but not a cow. So you want to eat meat? Okay, eat goat meat. So then on Amavasya, you have to chant a mantra in the ear of the cow. Mam Sha. Mam Sha. And then you cut the head off that goat on Amavasya. Then you offer it to Parvati or to Shiva. And you take what you think is Shiva Prasad, but it's actually Bhuta Prasad. It's Preta and Bhuta Prasad because Shiva doesn't eat it, nor does Parvati. But their assistants eat it. So then you take that under the Vedic injunction. So once a month you eat meat on Amavasya. Because you're in Tamagun. But, and then you're thinking, because you're guided by the Shiva Puran, you're thinking Shiva is supreme. Om Namo Shivaya. Om Namo Shivaya. Om Namo Shivaya. Shankar Bhagavan. They say Shankar Bhagavan ki jai. Shankar Mahadev ki jai. Gopeshwar Mahadev ki jai. Nandishwar Mahadev ki jai. Kameshwar Mahadev ki jai. Amarnath ki jai. Kedarnath ki jai. Somnath ki jai. Right? So He is supreme. He is the Lord. He is supreme. He is God for everyone in Tamogun. And if you worship Shiva and follow the Tamasic, if you worship Shiva and follow the Tamasic Puranas and follow the Vedas, then in your next life you will take birth in Rajagun. You will take birth with a body and a consciousness and a mind that's interested in Rajagun. And then you worship the Rajasic Puranas, which say worship Indra or whatever, different things. And you worship, and then you'll think Indra is supreme. And then you'll take birth finally after Rajagun, so many births. If you follow Vedas, this is a fruit. This is the Shuti Phal. This is the fruit of following the teachings and the verses of the Vedas. Then you'll take birth in Sattvagun. And you'll have sattvic consciousness. And you'll think, I want to be a vegetarian. You'll think like that. I want to be a vegetarian. And I want to do yoga. And I want to meditate. And I think the supreme is Brahman. And I want to live a pure life, a sattvic life. That's the influence, that's the prabhav of Sattvagun. And there's many shastras in Sattvagun. Yoga shastras, Gyan Yoga, Raja Yoga. And you'll follow those. And you'll take a birth with some Sattvagun and Rajagun. You may be a Vaishya, then more Sattvagun and more and less, you know, and then you'll become Kshatriya, and then finally more Sattvagun, a predominance of Sattvagun, a little Rajagun, a little maybe Tamagun, then you'll be a Brahmin. Then gradually you come to the platform that Vishnu is the highest. So the Vedas are meant to bring every human being to the final conclusion. Vedascha savar aham eva vedo venatakrit veda veda eva shaham. Vishnu says in Bhagavad Gita. I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas. Vedascha savar aham eva vedo venatakrit veda veda eva shaham. And I am the knower. The Vedas culminate in Krishna worship. So that all the Vedas are good. If someone is guided by Vedas, he will get a good result. He will get the blessings of Shiva and Indra and Surya. And finally, when he really gets the blessings of Shiva, he will become a Krishna Bhakta. Many devotees sitting in this room were Shiva Bhaktas in their last life. Or in this life also. And they kept Monday fast. And they did their puja. And they went to Vaishnav Devi for Darshan and Kedarnath and so many yatras. And they're always praying, oh Shiva, please give me the best thing. I'm your bhakta, please bless me. Oh, please give me your mercy. So he said, alright, I'll give you my mercy. I will give you my Ishtadev. I will give you my Ishtadev. Who is the Ishtadev of Shiva? If Shiva is God, how come he worships somebody else? If he's the topmost supreme being, why is Shiva doing puja to Sankarshan? Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the form of Vishnu. Krishna's expansion. Krishna expands in the Balaram expands in the Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And Lord Shiva, he worships at Sankarshan. That's why he has his Anantashesh, because Anantashesh is a form of Sankarshan, holding up the universe. No, Anantashesh, from the universe on the top. So he has Anantashesh, he has his Ishtadev around his neck. It's not some mundane sarp or cobra. This is Sankarshan. And what is the mantra that Lord Shiva chants? Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. No Krishna, because Sankarshan's name, the mantra for Sankarshan is Ram. He's Sankarshan Ram. So this is the beauty of the Vedas. It's not, it's all inclusive. It includes everyone. You're in Tamagun? Okay, great. Come on up. Come on board. You're welcome on my boat. Oh, you're in Rajagun? Come on. You're in Sattvagun? Come on, everybody. The Vedas are all inclusive. They're not exclusive. No one is excluded. You want to eat meat? Okay, eat meat. You want to drink whiskey? Okay, drink whiskey. But worship Shiva. Follow the Vedas. Don't eat cow. Only eat goat. And only on Amavasya. Once a month? Okay, go for it. If you got a refrigerator, I guess you can keep it for the rest of the month. Kill one big goat on Amavasya. Only one day you can kill on Amavasya. Then you freeze, keep it frozen for the rest of the month. So everybody's welcome. This is the beauty. This is symbolic of India. The whole India means swagatam, swagatam, swagatam. Come on, Muslims, come on in, take over our country. Great, here's our country. So they came in and took it over for 2,000 years. Swagatam Muslim, Swagatam British, Swagatam French, Dutch, German, every French, they all came and bit off India here and there. And India just said, folded their hands, said, Swagatam France, Swagatam Holland, Swagatam in England, come and eat Pondicherry and eat South India and eat North India and eat, take it all. So this is the mood of, this comes from the Vedas, this mood of openness. All-inclusiveness comes from the Vedic paradigm. Everybody is welcome, everybody can follow, everybody can attain perfection.